Well, we have been talking today about all areas of extremist thinking, and the holidays are often a time when we encounter some interesting views. If you're about to catch up with some friends or family that you haven't seen for a while, you might find they want to engage in a dinner table debate. And sometimes you are just not in the mood. You want to focus on your plate of snacks and having a good time, not getting into a huge political argument. So what does an experts say is the best and most constructive approach to disagreements? To help pinpoint some strategies, I'm joined by psychologist Christine Bagley-Jones. Christine, you say we need to counter us versus them thinking. What is that?
Tegan, it's a natural part of how humans operate. And in fact, we're wired this way for survival. Originally, it was a very simple way of identifying for our safety, whether we were going to be with someone or not with someone in terms of tribes and you know, just making sure that as we lived back then, we could get a little pack or a little tribe together. But as you know, now life is so much more complex. There's so many more factors that are influencing opinion. And what we're still doing is having that very dichotomous thinking in many settings.
So we're wired for this.
We're wired for this. And it's not a bad thing originally, and it still is for survival. It's a quick way of shortcutting to find out if someone is friend or foe.
It is interesting to sort of think about if this is the way our brains are automatic and we can recognize that about ourselves, then we can take a step back and examine what might lie beneath that.
Yes, we can. And that's the key, not just having that knee-jerk reaction to, you know, that very binary, that person's good or bad, but realize that humans are complex and we don't need to have that very swift analysis because there's more to us. And we can sort of zoom back and understand that we're more than our political views, we're more than our opinions on certain topics. We have a whole range that can be explored and identified with.
Okay, so if we have been like this for tens of thousands of years, why does it feel like we're more polarized now than we used to be?
I reckon there's a few factors. I think, firstly, the media. We have so much access. Never before in our lounge rooms are we saturated with so much information about what's going on globally. But in addition to that, we've got people's opinions being broadcast. So people are quick to make an assumption based on or a preference or a belief system based often on someone that they might admire, that they might follow. They'll follow their lead rather than making their own conclusions. But separate from that, we are encouraged more and more to understand our values and what we stand for, and we're encouraged to speak up on those values. And thirdly, I think that the issues are very contentious right now. They are potentially very polarizing because they're big ticket items that people normally that might have sat on the sidelines will weigh in on.
I mean, we've always had conflict. We've always had war. There's always been divisions between humans. Like you say, we've been tribal in the past. You're saying that social media is a driver here?
I think it does definitely impact. And I think a lot of the etiquette has shifted also. I remember growing up and we had this blanket rule, no discussing religion or politics at the table. And I think that was in part around honouring certain boundaries where it was a safe zone, where it didn't necessarily be a landmine conversation that could just erupt. And these days, I think that we're giving permission to discuss at the family barbecue and the work lunchroom very hot topics, which can then be very divisive.
It is interesting to me that you're sort of saying that humans are hardwired to sort of have in-groups and out-groups. And previously, that would have been your extended family and your community. But what we're now seeing is that people are often divided within families. Like the reason we're having this discussion is not because people far away from us think differently to us, but often someone at your dinner table thinks differently to us.
It's true. And I hear it all of the time with my clients. There's often, yeah, at the family gathering, some uncle said something that's very contentious. And it's becoming a big issue for people's mental health because we need to have safe places and we need to have people that we can trust. And it's okay not to agree on everything. And I guess what we need to ensure is that bubble to some extent, because that's what's being penetrated now. That safe bubble where you can just let your hair down and know that you're going to be accepted and know that everyone's going to have differences, but it's not necessarily going to lead to estrangements or conflict.
I guess the through line from what I'm trying to ask you is, why can't we all just get along? So how do we get along when we are confronted with someone who's a, I often feel like I'm going to take it personally if someone doesn't agree with me. How do I navigate that?
And I think that's so key, because we do take it personally. We take these big global issues, these broad topics, and personalize it. So we're actually offended. So what you can do in those situations is firstly, remember this actually is a global, everyone's experiencing the complexity and it's fraught. But also be curious yourself. Are you being that person that's not understanding someone else's perspective? Most of us all want the same thing. We want a happy life. We want peace. We want a future for children.
So if I'm anticipating a conversation like this with someone who I am going to spend time with, someone who I love, what's a way that I can prepare?
I think, firstly, be open-minded. And we don't want to be dogmatic. We don't want to ever be coming into any situation laden with judgment. Also, really want to understand their perspective and value the relationship as well. We can't die on every hill. So it's okay to stand really strong on certain topics. But you've got to also remember that you're going to be a very lonely and isolated person if you're alienating all of those around you. But also set some good boundaries and look at the timing and look at the topic and look at the person involved. You know, maybe don't get involved in a big heated discussion with Uncle Bob at a cousin's party if it's going to not go well, if you already know it's not going to go well. So have a couple of maybe one-liners in your pocket where if you feel it's getting a bit hot under the collar, you could say, you know what, we should probably leave this for now. Or, hey, I respect that our differences, we have different opinions here, so I think we should leave it for now. Or this isn't the time. Look at the setting and the appropriateness of it. And just remember that you want to feel proud of yourself. So that's a balancing act between standing strong with your values, but also respecting the values of others, and also remembering the greater good of family and connection and that sense of belonging, which is so paramount to your mental health.
So that's at the individual relationship level, really important, really useful. Zooming out though, this idea of us being more fragmented, more polarized as a society, is there anything we can do as individuals to bridge that gap?
I think the best way to pursue that is try to look at the things we have in common rather than always focusing on the things that we don't have in common. Like I said earlier, we all mostly want the same thing. It's just the way we go about it sometimes is starkly different, and it can feel really offensive and really affronted. So try to, on a global level, realize that the human condition has a lot of commonalities and try to seek some comfort in knowing that we probably have a lot more in common than we consider. And the way we're going to move forward globally is through peaceful means, hopefully. And you being able to approach people that are different with different views with empathy, curiosity, patience, and try not to overjudge them. Keep to the facts, make sure the facts have been checked, and go about your business as peacefully as possible. Will probably be good for your cortisol levels and your sleep and your blood pressure and those around you.
Not arguing with strangers on the internet, a good place to start.
A very good place to start. And also that's the other thing, like have a break from it all, step away from it, do other wholesome activities with those that you care about, and dine on other information that actually is a feel-good experience, because we could just drown in all of the negativity that's going on globally right now. It is on every front. It is in our community. It is in our nation. It's globally. And there are so many big topics. And if you don't take a break from that, it'll erode at your well-being, and then you'll stop being effective on every front anyway.
Psychologist Christine Bagley-Jones, thank you so much for joining me.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.